Thanks for coming back to the show. Mitch Evans Experience with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We continue counting down the days to the start of the 2014 college football season with our team previews. And I can't think of a better person to take a look at Auburn than the man who joins me right now, Pat Dye, former Auburn head football coach and athletic director, with us on the waitfor.com hotline. How are you, Coach?
I'm great. Thank you, Mitch.
Well, good to have you. And the primary focus is obviously to talk to you about this year's Tigers football team. But I do want to ask you a couple of overriding college football questions first. And I want to know, what do you think about the change to a 14 playoff? And do you think it's inevitable that someday, not too far off in the distance, that we will see super conferences, 16 teams in each, that will feed into a national championship tournament?
Well, you know, that's a possibility. You know, if the money's right, it's got a chance to go that way, and you just follow the money. But, you know, I like 14 better than two. I would prefer an 18 playoff, and I don't see why we had to have a committee. The BCS has been good enough for 15 years to stick to top four teams in the BCS or top eight teams in the BCS and play it off. But that's been good enough for us for a long time. Now there's going to be controversy in this thing.
In what way do you think we're going to have more controversy than we have previously had?
Well, I do, because it's all about people and how they vote.
And that's not any different than what we previously had, Coach?
Well, no, they had the computer involved in the other one.
Right.
The computer don't have a heart.
You're right about that. Let me ask you this. Where do you weigh in on a topic that got a lot of attention a few months ago, the war between up-tempo offenses and the attempts by some, most notably Nick Saban, to slow them down at all costs through rules changes?
Well, you know, we've been running up-tempo offenses forever. In high school, we had a no-huddle up-tempo offense at the end of the game, the end of the half, and nobody said anything about it then. But all of a sudden, you do it for a whole game, and it's a big deal. And basically, it's to, you know, to give the defense more time to adjust and more time to change defenses and recognize personnel and formations. And you play defense by anticipation, which comes from the situation. But situation is field position, down and distance, personnel, formations. All that stuff's got to be calculated. And then anticipation and its recognition was actually taking place, and its reaction and movement and contact. So it slows down the anticipation time and the adjustment time for teams that won't slow it down.
Are you buying the injury argument?
No. I ain't no. Are you?
No. One other thing that Coach Saban said, I heard him say it the other day, and it did make some sense to me, is that in the NFL, they've got a rules committee, and in college football, they don't. You think it would be a good idea to have something like that?
You know, I don't know. I don't know why we got to change the landscape of football in college football. We've been playing a long time. It's been a pretty good game. And, it's, you know, when you watch an up-tempo game and offense, and like we run, Texas A&M runs, you know, and then turn it over there and watch the NFL game, it's like watching paint dry. it's the bowl games this year were so much more exciting and up and down the field. Now, I was a defensive coach. I wouldn't like it with a dirt trying to defend it. But college football has never, ever been more exciting than it is today. They've got better coaches, they've got better players. These 707 leagues that they have in the summertime are creating a tremendous number of quarterbacks and receivers, and it'll take the defense a while to catch up. Eventually, they will.
Former Auburn head football coach and athletic director Pat Dye joining us here on the Experience via the waitfor.com hotline on 92.9 The Game. Let's shift to the Tigers, who came oh so close to winning the final BCS title. From a coaching standpoint, how in the heck did Gus Malzahn do what he did, completely reverse the fortunes of Auburn football in one season?
Well, I sat here and watched it, and I have no idea other than the fact that best coaching job that I've ever witnessed in my life. And I think it started, and it, because he had some players. The cupboard wasn't bare as far, but he had to have some key ingredients, and one of them being quarterback. And Nick Marshall came in and got an unbelievable year at quarterback. And, you know, we won full five games with him at quarterback. We wouldn't have won without him. Mm-hmm. And we weren't a great, great football team. We could do some things great. And I was wondering, our offensive line probably ended up the year being as good as anybody in the country. And
right.
Had a great comeback. But the threat of Marshall running, and, you know, and he could throw the football. He's just inconsistent. And then defensively, we came up with a lot of stops when we had to. We didn't have very good statistics. Main thing that I saw that was really unbelievable when you've been a head football coach is normally during the course of the season, there's going to be three or four games that you don't play your best. And we did not take a week off. Whether it was Western Carolina or Florida Atlantic or LSU or whoever, that team was ready to play every week. You didn't ever walk out of the stadium feeling like they didn't play the best.
Mm-hmm.
Just play as hard as they could play. I mean, I've never seen it before.
You said it yourself. The team certainly wasn't great in that turnaround season, but they sure had a lot of luck at certain points. The miracle against Georgia, the incredible Iron Bowl winning punt return for a touchdown by Chris Davis. But for the people who say that they weren't that good, but they were still good enough to win those games, sour grapes from people?
Yeah, and you know, we didn't. Those things didn't happen in the bowl game for whatever reason. Maybe it just wasn't in the line of the stars. But, you know, we gave up 17 points on the kicking game. And I guess the team as good as Florida State, you can't do that. And there was probably 7 or 8 one plays that made a difference, whether it be a penalty and callback, a first down, or a fake punt on the kicking game.
Mm-hmm.
That gave them a touchdown right before the half. We had all the momentum, the 21-3 lead or 24-3, whatever it was. But anyway, there was a number of plays in that ball game that we weren't able to overcome. 2 minutes tackles on the wrong play at the end of the game. Two guys knocked themselves off of the receiver, and it still came down to a 13-second deal.
Right.
They don't have the last drive. The game is one-sided. Auburn controlled the football game until the last drive. When they ran the kickoff back, you know, we come right back down the field and score. We just scored too fast. You know, they had the one long play, and then they get it down on the goal line, they get a penalty, puts the ball on the 2-yard line, and it just wasn't there for us to win.
Mm-hmm.
We had our opportunities to win. I'm not saying anything worked for Florida State. They had a great football team.
Mitch Evans experience with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking with Pat Dye, the former Auburn head football coach and athletic director this year for the Tigers. Is it possible, Coach, that you talked about that great running offense that they had, Trey Mason gone, Greg Robinson also decides to leave early for the NFL. Is it out of the realm of possibility that still that rushing offense won't miss a beat even without those guys?
I think our offensive line is going to be better. We have 4 of them returning, and Sean Coleman is taking Greg Robinson's place. Is just as good an athlete, just not quite as bulky and doesn't have the experience. But he's going to be a great left tackle. Now, how good remains to be seen, but I mean, you know, he's a kid that had counseling. He's been here for 5 or 6 years. But he's, over the last 3 years when they let him start back playing football, you know, he's just developed into a phenomenal specimen and athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the rest of the starters are back on the offensive line. And we'll miss the fullback blocking, and he was a dynamic blocker and a great leader. We're going to have 2 receivers potentially first-round draft choices. And Nick threw for 238 yards in the first half of his fine game. So I think that our passing game is going to be much better. Artis Payne is a winner at tailback, and he's not as good. I'm not saying he's as good as Mason, but he's good enough to make first downs and move the chains.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen it myself, but all the coaches and everybody tells me that Pete Barber from Marietta or somewhere there, Atlanta, they like him. Got hurt on the first play of the spring game, didn't get to see him. Ran about 15 yards, sprained his ankle. And defensively, I think we're going to be like twice as good on defense as we were a year ago. With that being said, our schedule sets up a lot more difficult than it did a year ago. But we got a tough home schedule with LSU, A&M, and South Carolina. But we got to play Georgia on the road and Alabama on the road and the state on the road. And both Ole Miss and Mississippi State are both capable of beating you. You got to play as good as you can play to beat them. and we got to play them in their places. And those are going to be critical games. So we could have a better football team and not have as good a record, but that's why it's the Southeastern Conference.
Coach, you brought up Nick Marshall, some off-the-field issues for him. Should there be any concerns for Gus Malzahn with Nick Marshall?
No. You know, they've got rules in place for that kind of thing, and just let him do what he's supposed to do. They won't feel let him play.
What do you think is a more important dynamic for the upcoming campaign, the experience gained from playing for all the marbles or the fact that teams are going to be gunning for Auburn this time around?
Well, that's another thing. We ain't going to be flying on the radar like we might have been last year. I mean, they're going to circle Auburn. Every one of those teams that I mentioned are capable of beating Auburn, unless we play the best we can play. And we did that last year without being circled. And that made no difference. But we're going to get the best shot in Athens. We're going to get the best shot in Tuscaloosa and Oxford and Staunton. And I think we got a much better chance of beating MSU in Auburn and A&M in Auburn and South Carolina in Auburn than I do playing Mississippi State and Mississippi on the road.
One other thing defensively, and you talked about how you expect the defense to be better than it was last year. One big loss, though, it seems like Carl Lawson, we find out, suffered a knee injury in spring practice. He's a big question mark coming in, whether or not he's going to be able to contribute at all.
Well, you know, I think you're right. We'll lose and miss his big playability. But, you know, they worked Gabe Wright and Montavious Allen both at defensive end this spring. And, you know, we just had a lot of them that didn't practice. They're going to play this fall, and we're going to miss Carl Lawson. I mean, you can't lose a player like that without hitting it.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us great big playability. I don't know who's going to be that guy without Carl. He was going to be that guy if he hadn't got hurt. Somebody else, I hope, will step up and maybe Montavious Adams. It might be Gabe Wright. Ladarius Owens, the potential has always been there. He just never seemed for it to happen for him, and he's capable. And we got some young kids to be recruited. Dante Lambert and from GMC, he's getting rave summer reviews as far as his workouts and, you know, how he's getting right in. So we'll be as good or better up front than we were a year ago, I think. And then, you know, our linebackers are going to be twice as good as they were a year ago, and I think we'll be better in the secondary. So I think we're going to be a much improved football team defensively.
One last thing for Auburn legend Pat Dye with us here on the experience on 92.9 The Game. One of your former players heading into Baseball's Hall of Fame on Sunday, Frank Thomas, was a tight end for you one season, and then you helped convince him to concentrate more on baseball. You did a pretty big favor, Coach.
Well, you know, when I recruited him, I told him, I said, I know you're a great baseball player, but we want you to start a football scholarship and play both as a freshman. And if any time you want to just concentrate on baseball, you can play baseball on the football scholarship. And that's what he did. So we were minus the football scholarship the whole time Frank played baseball. Been playing for a couple of years and was gone. But a great kid. But he'd have been All-American, All-Pro. He'd played tight end. Great athlete. Competitive. Fearless. You know, he had it all.
Coach, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
All right. Thank you.
Former Auburn head coach and athletic director and living legend, Pat Dye, with us here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.